This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station, and our dear, dear, dear friend, Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, the Bears are the team of the moment, my friend. The Bears are everything that they are who we thought they were. And seeing them beat the Vikings, I got to say it, if they don't win the division now, something's wrong. They really are in the driver's seat and pulling away from the rest of the teams.
Yeah, boy, they've got a commanding lead with six games to go in this thing now. We obviously know that they've got a couple games in those final six against teams that have really struggled this season. So while four of the final six are away from Soldier Field, I think you've got to feel pretty good about the position this team is in right now, with an opportunity to continue to improve here in the late stages of the season and set itself up for meaningful football in January, which we haven't seen in forever. And boy, you got the feeling, at least initially last night, guys, that that thing was going to be a blowout or not real close. The Bears, you know, managed to go down and get points on their opening possession of the game. What else is new? That's been one of the real storylines of the season. They've scored points, I think, on their opening possession in five games, and add in two missed field goals on opening possessions, and you know they've had an opportunity for even more. So they're just playing well right out of the gate, and that was the case last night because the Vikings really couldn't get anything going on offense with Kirk Cousins in that running game that was stuck in the mud. The Bears vaulted into number one position in the NFL against the run with the effort last night, passing the Saints, who had been ahead of them by a slight bit entering the weekend. The Vikings pick up all of 22 yards on 14 carries, guys.
Brad, we talked about this last night in the press box, and I think it's a question that a lot of people have watching the game because the two-point conversions were such a big part of that game and the way it went down, the way everybody sort of approached it in the fourth quarter especially. Was Matt Nagy going for two because he believed in the metrics or doubted his kicker?
Well, yes. I would say. Yeah, listen, there's not a chart out there for the National Football League that's going to advocate going for two when the score is 9-0. Okay, they're just, that chart doesn't exist. But the Bears chose to go for two in that situation. They hit the pass to Josh Bellamy and make it 11-0. So because they went for it and they were aggressive and it worked, it was a good move. Then later on, they were up 20-6. They had a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. Again, there's not a chart for the NFL that's going to say go for two at that point. And I get it. If you make it, the other team has to hit two touchdowns and two two-point conversions to even tie you. But when you're up 14, you kick there. You're up 15, and now they've got to get an extra point and a two-point conversion just to tie you in that situation. So it's something Nagy explained to the players earlier in the week that they might do. Because I asked, hey, you know, was this a surprise that you guys went for two? No. He said he thought they had some good stuff maybe on the play sheets that they hadn't gotten to recently, that they were thinking about breaking out for two-point conversions. But if you have further questions about his faith in the kicker, it's 4th and 4 at the 30. There's a little bit less than 3 minutes to play, and the Bears were in position to keep the offense on the field, punt, and kick the field goal. It was they had a moment of indecision on the sideline. They took a timeout, and then the decision was made with the score as it is. At that point, they were up 8 to send Parkey out there for a 48-yard field goal. You know, if you're believing in your kicker and you haven't had issues with him lately, you get stopped. It's 4th and 4 to 30. Boom, you put the kicker out there.
This segment of the Mully and Haw Show brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So, Brad, who was the best player on defense? Are you a Khalil Mack fan, or was this the Akeem Hicks game?
Boy, they both played really well. You know, Mack, you go back and look at replays of that forced fumble on Dalvin Cook. That was ridiculous. You know, he dominated like 2 or 3 guys on that play to create that takeaway. Just another brilliant play by him. Hicks was great up front. Hopefully it'll get him a little more recognition around the league because it's in a primetime spot. I thought Amukamara played really well, guys, in the secondary. Mm-hmm. They had really good coverage downfield. I mean, it was a complete game for the Bears defense and against a team with 2 excellent wide receivers. You talk about Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. That's a great pair right there, and the Bears were up for the challenge.
The segment with Brad Biggs brought to you by Ford, inviting you to visit your local Ford store or buyfordnow.com. Brad, what was your biggest takeaway regarding Mitch Trubisky? The numbers show that he didn't have a great night, and I think anybody that watched probably wasn't surprised by the numbers. At the same time, he made some clutch throws when he needed to and made a lot of plays with his feet.
Yeah, he made a lot of plays with his feet in the first half before Minnesota looked like the Vikings adjusted a little bit to what they were doing. And he came out on fire. I think he was 12 of his first 14. Wasn't hitting a lot of stuff down the field, but they were moving the ball. And that's one thing the Vikings were not doing with Kirk Cousins. You go back and rewatch it, there'll be some things you like. A couple, like you said, clutch throws, the interceptions. I thought the first one was, you know, he was trying to put that into a pretty small window. And Anthony Harris, the safety for the Vikings, made a hell of a play there to pick that thing off. And then the second one, you know, I'm not sure if it's a combination of you know, him and Robinson not being quite on the same page and a bad throw. I think it might be a little bit of both there. So you want to see that kind of stuff cleaned up, but made plays with his legs, again, especially in the first half, and, you know, really put some strain on that Vikings defense, which is one of the better ones in the league, guys. And the Vikings have also been outstanding against the run this season. I think they're number 4 in the league right now. So I thought it was a good sign to see Jordan Howard get downhill a little bit. And nothing that's going to knock your socks off in the box score for Howard, 63 yards on 18 carries. But he had some success, and he had some of it early in the game. And the Bears wind up getting 148 yards on the ground, guys, and that's the kind of effort that will help you get the job done.
It's interesting, Brad, because the Bears, what did they have, 71 plays last night, something like that? And they were coming off a game against Detroit where they had, I want to say, 55. I don't have the box score in front of me.
Yeah, it was like 54, 55. And yeah, the week before that, they had, you know, mid-40s at Buffalo. So,
well, I did not see a lot of different – I didn't see a lot of the same plays from the Detroit game to the Minnesota game. And now the Bears, again, there's a very short time period, but maybe a benefit to them in retrospect to have not run 70 plays against Detroit, because I'm sure they've got a certain number of plays that they made for that Detroit game that they never ran. In other words, they may have already had a jump start on the game plan, and I'm sure it's already done, but they may have had a jump start in the game plan as they were putting in a lot of things. Maybe they have more plays that they've practiced for Detroit than they actually ran against Detroit, and maybe that'll make it easier on Thursday, or is that a reach?
I don't think that's a reach at all. I think there's definitely stuff in the game plan for the Lions originally that you're right, they didn't get to. Now, some of that stuff maybe you want to set up with an earlier call so they go back to it to introduce a new play against the Lions this coming Thursday. But, you know, that was one of the things that Trubisky mentioned briefly last night, that, you know, they had to be smart about how much they wanted to get to this week and get into the game plan because it is a short week. But, you know, you get the sense that most of these games, that, especially, you know, lately, that the coach and the quarterback seem to kind of be on the same page in terms of what they want to do. Remember, one of the storylines at the beginning of the year, early in the season, the first month maybe, was that they had been giving him so much, you know, to see how he handled it and that type of thing, and see what worked and what he liked and what didn't work. And we're not getting as many explanations along those lines of late, especially when things aren't working out. So I think you might be onto something on their game plan for the Lions. Obviously, you want to tweak it and make it a little bit different than it was in the first meeting. And, you know, Detroit, difficult team to figure out, guys. They looked awful at Soldier Field last week, and then put forth a much different effort yesterday at home to defeat a pretty good Carolina Panthers team. So, you know, we've seen the Lions this year that just knocked the snot out of the Patriots. We've seen them beat a good team like the Panthers, and then we've seen them go out there and just look terrible. So hard to tell what Matt Patricia team will be waiting for the Bears on Thursday.
You just know they'll have good posture.
If they don't, they will be called out for it.
That game, and we'll let you go, Bigsy, but that game got very chippy, the Lions game, and they felt kind of humiliated by the results against the Bears. I wonder if there's any payback in their hearts. I'm not saying they can pull it off, but, you know, that sort of thing can, I don't know, maybe come back to you.
Do me a favor, just kind of sit up and just, like, have a little respect.
It'll be fresh in their minds, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, Bigsy,
thanks, Brad.
Buddy.
All right, guys, have a great day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.